One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're be-uncled.
I am.
You've been be-uncled.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Yay.
I met my niece this week, last weekend.
Last weekend. Yay.
Violet Elizabeth Wasserman goes by the nickname of Letty.
Welcome.
Her choice.
To the... Kids these days.
Kids these days.
So demanding. Honestly.
Just like a little tag was on her when she came out. Call me Letty.
My preferred name is Letty.
But she is adorable and healthy.
Yay.
And her mother is healthy. Her father is not getting sleep, which is exactly how it should be.
Yep.
And I'm thrilled for my brother, David Wasserman. If you want to tweet at him to congratulate him on becoming a father, please do that. His Twitter handle is at David Wasserman 1. Their Twitter handles run in the family. I'm Scott Wasserman 1. He's David Wasserman 1. You know.
Really original.
Yep.
Yep. I was going to tell you, good job on becoming be-uncled, but
no,
like,
I didn't have to do anything.
You didn't have to do
anything. I just showed
anything.
Up. I got to hold her when she was 3 hours old, which is the smallest person I've ever held.
I would hope so.
She was like just under 7 pounds.
So you could have squished her.
Could have squished her, but I didn't.
But you didn't.
I didn't.
Good
job. So that
job.
Was a point for Uncle Scott.
Yeah. That's the first step in becoming an uncle is you don't squish it.
Right. Don't squish.
Yeah.
Don't squish. Do spoil. That's the rule of being an uncle.
Okay. New baby onesie idea says don't squish.
Don't squish. Do spoil. We got to make that.
We got to make that.
So welcome to Song Salad.
This is not our newborn baby podcast.
No, and I wouldn't have much to talk about in that department anyway. I just would be like, they're cute.
Yeah.
And someone else takes care of them for you.
Don't squish them, though.
Don't squish them, though. Do spoil them.
But, yeah, this is Song Salad, despite this opening. And it is a podcast where we write a short song about a random topic in a random style of music.
And we find out what random topic and genre we're going to be doing this week by spinning the salad spinner. The salad spinner is a suggestion of a noise or impression or thing to do from you, our loyal listeners. This week, our salad spinner suggestion comes from loyal listener Claire Dixon.
Thank you, Claire.
She says, being stuck in a portaloo as it is moved from its site.
So, using context clues, I'm going to guess that a portaloo is just a porta potty.
Yes.
But for someone across the pond.
Yes.
Who
a
says
porta pond.
A porta pond.
Porta pondy.
Porta pondy. That's not even funny. Okay.
Thanks. Have you ever been stuck in a porta potty?
No.
Have you ever used a porta potty?
Many times. Camp, especially camping for Girl Scouts.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
We would always get stuck in the campsite that didn't have the running water.
Yep.
So we were always in, it was Camp Red Wing in Western Pennsylvania, and it was the Orchard campsite, I remember. And it was the shittiest campsite, and they always gave it to our troop for whatever reason. The only place I ever stayed at Red Wing was in Orchard. And they had like a trough sink.
Oh, yes.
But like that was kind of it. And then they had porta potties.
Fun.
And they were full of wolf spiders.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it was
horrifying.
Just, it was awful. But that's like my most like vivid memories of porta potties are at Girl Scout camp.
Just being terrified you were going to be bit in the butt.
Yes. And also just like grossed out and it just smelled and it was like just terrible. What about you? What is your most salient porta potty experience?
What's your best porta potty story? I mean, I most closely associate porta potties with like town fairs, like county fair kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So there was the Haddam Neck Fair in Haddam Neck. Haddam Neck.
Haddam Neck.
Haddam Neck, which is a town in Connecticut near where I grew up, where the town that my grandfather grew up in.
Uh-huh.
And they have a big fair every year that's like basically an agricultural fair. So there's like rides and games and food and stuff, but it's also got like pig growing competitions and like tractor pulls and like best cucumber and, you know, that kind
best
of stuff.
Best cucumber.
And I say that because I won a blue ribbon
for best cucumber.
When I was a kid, I also won for sunflowers.
Did you grow it or did you find it?
I grew it.
Uh-huh.
I grew it.
You didn't just take a store-bought cucumber.
Has like the sticker still on
it. Yeah.
It's wrapped in plastic. One of those like English cucumbers.
Yeah.
But
what made your cucumber the best cucumber? Because I am a skeptical.
I think it's about like consistency of shape and not like too bumpy and a good verdant green and nice, you know,
girth,
nice knock on it.
A nice knock on it.
So it's not squishy.
Do people knock on cucumbers?
You can knock a cucumber. That's how you know it's good.
Oh my God.
You have to hold the cucumber up to your ear and see what it says to you.
Was it like especially big?
No, it's not about size. It's about quality.
Oh, that's what they always say.
Of your cuke.
Good job,
but
I guess.
Anyway, the porta potties at the Haddonback Fair were disgusting.
Yeah, I'm sure they were.
Ooh, just like bad funnel cake dreams going on.
Gross. Great. So now that we've transported all of our listeners and put them off whatever meal they were about to eat.
Right. This cucumber looks... Never mind.
So we can now be stuck in a portaloo as it is moved from its site.
Would you like to go first or would you like me?
I'll go first, but you have to help me.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. I feel like we need like a sound effect of like a truck backing up or something to move
it.
Yeah,
I can do that.
Can you do the truck?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Go ahead. Occupied. Beep. Occupied. Beep. Oh my God. No. No.
Our genre this week.
Ragtime.
Ragtime.
The people called it ragtime.
Because it was.
Because it was a ragtime.
Because it was a rag old time.
Yes.
We're doing ragtime.
Ragtime. Ragtime's good.
What's the first thing you think of when you hear the word ragtime?
Aarons and Flaherty.
Okay.
Sorry.
First thing I think of is Scott Joplin.
Ah, well.
Have you heard of him?
Yes, definitely.
Well, good.
He was a piano player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ragtime composer.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really know that, but I knew he played the piano.
You would recognize songs that he wrote.
Like what?
Maple Leaf Rag and
yes.
The Entertainer.
Oh,
the Entertainer is...
The ice cream truck song.
Yes.
Is that everybody everywhere? The ice cream truck song was the Entertainer?
It varies. I mean, there's a lot of Pop Goes the Weasel in the ice cream truck world.
When I lived in Chicago, it was La Cucaracha.
That's fun too.
Yeah.
Good ice cream truck song.
Yeah,
We should get ice cream truck songs as a genre.
Ice cream truck song as a genre, but they don't have lyrics.
We could make them.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, ragtime.
Ragtime.
Musical style that enjoyed its peak popularity between 1895 and 1918. So we're throwing it way back.
Nice.
To the turn of the century.
Throwback Monday.
Its cardinal trait is its syncopated or ragged rhythm. So that's why it's called ragtime. It's got syncopated rhythms to make the time feel ragged. Make sense?
Yep.
Cool. The style has its origins in African-American communities in cities such as St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yep. I'm sticking with it. Ernest Hogan, who lived from 1865 to 1909, was a pioneer of ragtime and was the first composer to have his ragtime pieces, or rags, published as sheet music, beginning with the song La Pama La, I guess.
L-A Pa Ma La.
L-A La.
Yeah.
Published in 1895. Mm-hmm. Hogan has also been credited for coining the term ragtime.
Good job, Hogan.
The term is actually derived from his hometown Shake Rag in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
But... I will say citation needed because that is an alternate etymology to ragtime because it has a ragged rhythm.
Right.
So let's just go with it has a ragged rhythm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ben Harney, another Kentucky native, has often been credited for introducing the music to the mainstream public with his first ragtime composition, You've been a good old wagon, but you done broke down.
Oh, ain't it the truth? You've been a good old wagon, but you done broke down. You know, I imagine in an old Western, you know, and there's this grizzled, lonesome, leathery cowboy.
Leathery.
Who's been riding the range with his trusty horse. And finally, his horse just kicks the bucket. And the cowboy, the stony-faced cowboy, you know, like digs a grave. And it's this like whole montage of he like puts his horse into the ground. He buries it.
It's a deep hole.
Then he sheds one single tear. And he says, "You've been a good old wagon, but you done broke down." And then he walks away into the sunset with the shovel over his shoulder.
He called his horse a wagon?
It's a metaphor.
I think it's about an actual wagon.
Yeah, I know, but like, it's a metaphor.
Well, I saw it in my head as you were describing it, so good job.
Yeah, thank you.
Ragtime was also a modification of the march style popularized by John Philip Sousa, with additional polyrhythms coming from African music.
All right.
And, yes?
Tell me about polyrhythms.
Polyrhythms means layering different rhythms on top of each other. So if you have like eighth notes in the bass, like one and two and then in the treble you have 16th notes, like one and a two and a.
Okay.
Things like that. But then they get more complicated, especially in African music.
Okay.
So polyrhythms. Multiple rhythms happening at once.
Are you sure it's not rhythms that don't want to be monogamous?
Ragtime composer Scott Joplin.
You're not the only one who can make shitty jokes.
Became famous through the publication of the Maple Leaf Rag and a string of ragtime hits such as The Entertainer, like we just mentioned. Although he was later forgotten by all but a small dedicated community of ragtime aficionados, apparently, until the major ragtime revival in the early 1970s.
What?
Weird.
Why? Like, can't believe but that. Disco, though.
Yeah, why the 70s?
Yeah, okay.
We're gonna have to find out.
Yeah.
Oh, I see why.
Do you? Oh.
In 1971, Joshua Rifkin brought out a compilation of Scott Joplin's work, which was nominated for a Grammy Award. In 1973, the New England Ragtime Ensemble recorded The Red Back Book, a compilation of some of Joplin's rags and period orchestrations, edited by the conservatory president, Günther Schuller. This also won a Grammy for Best Chamber Music Performance of the Year and was named Billboard's Top Classical Album of 1974. Subsequently, the motion picture The Sting brought ragtime to a wide audience with its soundtrack of Joplin's tunes.
You know, I did know that. The Sting.
I've never seen The Sting.
I've never seen The Sting either, but I remember my mom once telling me that the ice cream truck song was from a movie called The Sting.
Oh my God.
So she knew, and that just stuck with me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the film's rendering of The Entertainer was adapted and orchestrated by Marvin Hamlisch. It was a top five hit in 1975. Weird. Cool.
Okay.
Ragtime. Rich history, big influence on the music that came after it, and one of the most like easily recognizable distinct genres of music, I think.
Yeah, I would say it's probably, like, if you were just listening for it, you would probably think it's closest to, like, a honky-tonk. Like, sure. A honky-tonk piano. Like, you hear that kind of jangly piano.
Honky-tonk, boogie-woogie. Like,
yeah.
Kind of thing going on.
Very like, piano-driven.
Yes. Piano, sometimes banjo.
Yeah.
But mostly piano. And sometimes lyrics.
Sometimes lyrics. So there are a whole bunch of related forms and styles, including cakewalks.
Love a cakewalk.
Yeah. So
tell me about cakewalks.
Okay. This is an African-American tradition, generally, and it is a dance contest in which the prize is a cake.
Yes.
Which is like the best prize.
We got to bring back cakewalks.
Do we?
Yeah.
Did you ever play a cakewalk in elementary school?
No.
You didn't?
No.
We had cakewalks in elementary school, except we just played it as musical chairs.
Okay.
Except you did the musical. So, you know, musical chairs, like they have one fewer chair than person. You walk around the circle of chairs.
Yes.
They stop the music. Everyone has to sit as fast as possible. Usually it ends up with a bunch of hurt feelings and scraped knees.
And hurt butts.
And hurt butts. And then as it goes, you continue to take one chair away until there's only two people left in one chair and whoever sits wins.
This has been Explanations of Childhood Games by Shannon and Scott.
Some people might not know how to play musical chairs.
I've never met a person who doesn't know how to play musical chairs.
If you did not know what musical chairs was before this, tweet at tweet
and
at Scott.
Pretend. Don't pretend to take her side.
No, at you should just at him. People are going to at you so hard.
Don't at me.
At him.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Did you win a cake? Is that the moral of the story?
I didn't. I lost musical chairs.
Oh.
But anyway, many early rags are cakewalks. What's the point of that whole thing? But there are a whole bunch of other ones, including...
We're doing really well.
I know. We're like really unfocused tonight.
So then when I was playing the piano for the first time, I hurt my finger and I could only use 4 out of my 5 fingers. And basically the moral of that story is... that Jelly Roll Morton was a jazz artist.
What? Stop it.
That's basically what we're doing.
That is not what we were doing. I was talking about cakewalks, which is explicitly used to be rags. Anyway, there were also some racist incarnations of rags.
Typical.
In which they would be sung in blackface.
Yep.
Yeah, which is not great.
Have you heard of Al Jolson?
Yeah, I've heard of Al Jolson.
He was a very famous white performer who performed in blackface and sang a lot of these cakewalks and rags.
Yeah. And this was strongly associated with ragtime at the time. Yeah. But gradually, due to what Wikipedia is calling ragtime song, which is the vocal form of ragtime, it was the more generic version of these kind of vaudevillian performances, vocal performances, backed by a ragtime beat.
Cool.
A ragtime band.
Yeah. Musically.
Yes.
Ragtime is usually written in either 2/4 or 4/4 time with a predominant left-hand piano pattern of bass notes on the strong beats, so beats 1 and 3, and chords on the weak beats, beats 2 and 4. So that's what's known as stride piano. And Scott Joplin was one of the most famous introducers of stride piano to the like now considered classical music canon. So that's when you have to, with your usually pinky, hit a low note, a single note on the keyboard, or an octave with your pinky and your thumb, and then jump up to the middle of the keyboard and hit a full chord, usually 3 or 4 notes, and then jump back down and hit a single note or an octave again, and keep doing that for the whole song. So it's a lot of target practice if you're playing this music.
Can you play an example of that?
Sure. Here's part of Maple Leaf Rag.
Oh, I was like, you do it.
Oh, me?
Yeah. Can you do it?
Sure.
Do it.
Here you go. I don't have a piano sound queued up or anything right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. Here it is. That's stride piano.
Good job.
And then your right hand does totally different stuff over that. And that's where the polyrhythms come into play.
Got it. So let's talk about what our example should be. Should it be, I mean, obviously Maple Leaf Rag, the entertainer. Should it be Alexander's Ragtime Band?
Because that has lyrics. Because
it has lyrics.
So. Yes. So Irving Berlin
wrote
some of the most famous ragtime songs with lyrics that became part of the popular music / like standard music of the United States. So
this was also his first major hit. And Irving Berlin is a huge American singer-songwriter, songwriter, rather.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was also a singer-songwriter in his day. But
was he?
Yeah. I mean, a singer-songwriter has a different context now than it did back then. But
like,
he,
no one would be like, I love the sound of Irving Berlin's voice.
Oh, no. No one loved the sound of anyone's voice back then.
Yeah,
it was
that's
all
true.
Like, Alexander's Ragtime Band. That's what it sounded like. That was our example.
It sounded just like everyone was just yelling through a kazoo.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Here it is, Alexander's Ragtime Band by Irving Berlin.
Cool.
Sung by Bessie Smith.
Oh, my honey, you better hurry and let's go down there. Ain't you going to that little man, raggy meter man? Oh, honey, let me take you to Alexander, grandstand, brass band. Ain't you coming along? Come on in here, Alexander, Ragtime Band. Come on in here, it's a band. imagine that you wanna go to war. That's just the best band in the land.
It's also worth mentioning, I think, that there is some controversy surrounding the origins of this song.
Of Alexander's Ragtime Band?
Indeed.
Who's Alexander?
Who is Alexander?
Oh, that's not the controversy?
No.
Oh, never mind. Continue.
There is evidence, although it is said to be inconclusive, that Berlin borrowed, quote unquote, the melody, in particular, four notes of like one part of like the hook.
Okay.
Oh, my honey, I guess.
Yeah.
From a draft of A Real Slow Drag by Scott Joplin that had been submitted to a publisher.
Interesting.
And I'll just point out the obvious that Scott Joplin was an African-American man. Irving Berlin was not.
Also, four notes. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Legally, nowadays, you're allowed to borrow seven. So he's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it says inconclusive evidence.
Yeah. Should we get our topic?
Yeah, we should probably get our topic. It's
so we're gonna do piano accompaniment, I'd say.
Yes.
Let's do just piano accompaniment and then vocals. Maybe if we're feeling saucy, we could do a little like Andrew's Sisters trio type vocal.
Oh my
we'll
God.
See if, what the topic calls
yeah,
for.
Yeah, we will.
But yeah, let's get our topic.
Okay.
My turn to be in a moving portaloo.
It is. Wait, I need a beat by beat breakdown of what was happening.
I was peeing.
Yes.
I was whizzing.
Yes.
And the portaloo started like rocking back and forth, sloshing all of the liquid inside of it.
Ah, that's what the
that's all the sloshing.
I thought it was like a giant picked you up and was stomping you to your next location.
Basically.
Spin.
Oh, we should figure out how to pronounce this.
I want you to take a run at this name. Do it. Our topic this week.
Shirley Jones.
No.
That was my guess.
Do not whitewash this woman.
This is Huang Qian, I'm going to say.
Huang Qian is pretty close, at least as far as like people who don't speak a tonal language can get.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Huang Qian, Chinese, born July 18th, 1986.
She is a Chinese chess player who holds the title of Woman Grand Master.
WGM.
The Chinese Women's Chess Championship in 2012 and the Asian Women's Chess Championship in 2013. Huang competed in the Women's World Chess Championship in 2001, 4, 10, 12, 15, and 17.
So I was confused for a half a second and then realized that I shouldn't be confused. Do you know why I was confused?
Because her first name is actually Qian.
No.
And not Huang.
No, not that.
Oh, what?
Chinese chess player. I was thinking Chinese checkers
as
a different game, but it's not that. She's just a chess player from China. I was like, oh, maybe there's a different type of chess.
No, it's just
Chinese chess.
It's just chess.
Well, because it says Chinese chess player, but then it says Chinese women's chess championship.
Yeah.
Not women's Chinese chess championship.
Yeah. There's a lesson to be learned about adjectives in there somewhere and
somewhere.
How to properly parse them. But
no such thing as Chinese chess.
No, she is just, according to Wikipedia, a very blurry woman who plays regular chess and is Chinese.
Yes.
Yes.
She was a member of the gold medal winning Chinese team at the 2004 Women's Chess Olympiad in Calvià in 2007, along with Zhao Zhu.
Do it.
Hu Yifan, Ron Lufei, and Shen Yang. She also won with the Chinese team the first women's world team chess championship in Yekaterinburg. She scored a 4 out of 4. Despite this 100% result, she did not win reserve board prize due to the limited number of games.
This must be some kind of chess. We're too in the weeds with the rules of chess.
Yeah, sure. She was awarded the Woman Grandmaster title in March 2008.
Amazing.
And she is married to a chess grandmaster named Bu Zhangxi.
Cool.
So, female chess player from China.
Let us honor this blurry lady with a ragtime song. Did you forget for a second?
I forgot for a second.
Ragtime? What in the world?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm picturing all of your brilliantly clever references to the chess pieces right now.
Yeah, it's gonna happen.
What rhymes with pawn and rook?
Rook, a couple things. Pawn, a lot of things.
Dawn.
Yawn.
Lawn.
Fawn.
Skull.
Wan.
What rhymes with bishop? That's a hard one.
Oh, no. Bishop is a hard one.
This is your challenge today, Shannon. Rhyme something with every chess piece.
Okay.
Name all the chess pieces. Go.
King, queen, knight, rook, pawn, bishop.
You're forgetting one, right? Oh, wait.
Rook is castle, right?
What's the horse?
That's the knight.
That's the knight. Okay. I was going to say, you forgot horse.
Forgot horse.
Horse to c7.
Hat, dog.
It's a little man. This
Monopoly.
Crown girl, crown boy.
I want to be the iron.
Wheelbarrow. What if you showed up at a chess tournament and like took out a little like velvet bag and like put out like a pawn and then a rook and stuff, but then like the wheelbarrow.
Yes.
And then just like a checkers.
All the piece. Monopoly pieces.
And then like a marble that doesn't even stay on the board.
Yeah. Just like my, I don't know, my kids mix up all the board games. Like, let's just play. I'll remember what they all are.
A die. Oh, man.
Excellent.
So we're going to write a ragtime song about Wang Qian.
Yes.
Actually, I'm going to find out how to pronounce
it. I'm doing
real.
That right
okay.
now, actually.
You're going to do that.
Swing and a miss.
Xian.
Xian.
Do it again.
Xian.
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 It's like a question.
Xian.
Xian.
Xian. Xian.
So look up the other name.
So her first name is Xian. What?
Is it? Are you asking me? Huang.
Huang.
I said Huang. Huang.
Huang.
Xian. Xian.
Huang. Huang.
Xian. Which one do you say first?
Oh, I guess you say the family
Huang.
Name first.
Xian.
Huang. Xian.
Huang. Xian.
Okay.
Rag time.
Time.
Rag.
Wong. Xian.
Time.
Rag time. Oh boy.
Well, I'm gonna start coming up with a good old ragtime melody.
Okay, I'm gonna try to find lyrics to as many ragtime songs as I can.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm also going to see if I can find any videos of Huang Xian playing chess.
Ah, yes. Okay, so she is like a real living person who probably has like social media and stuff.
Let's see if she's on Twitter.
Yeah.
She's 31, so.
Yeah, she's like a year older than me.
She's hip. She's with it.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Okay. Do you have a rag?
I've got a rag.
Yeah?
My time is ragged. No, I made a little rag. I have a little honky-tonk piano sound, and I came up with a fun little chord progression, and it's doing stride piano and then some tinkly-tinkly polyrhythms in the right hand.
Some tinkly-tinkly polyrhythms in the right hand.
You know. And one thing that is kind of fun, do you know hemiola?
I feel like I've heard that term before, but I don't know what it is.
Hemiola is when something feels like it's in three, but it's like made up of parts that are in two or four. So let me explain.
So it's a feeling. Like when it feels like it's Thursday, but it's really Tuesday.
Yeah, that's like
it's
day
hemiola.
Of the week hemiola. So it's sort of like it's when you accent different parts of a straight rhythm to make it feel like it's a triplet, kind of.
Okay.
So like an example that I use later on in the rag is like the main rhythm is kind of a swung like da 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 da, you know, which is all like 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, right? So in order to make it feel like three,
okay,
groups of three, you accent da 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 da, right? 1 2 3 1 2 3 1 2 3 1 2 3, right?
Oh, yes.
So that's called hemiola.
But why wouldn't you just write it as triplets?
Because it's not a triplet.
But why wouldn't you just do
it that way? Because triplets are da-da-da-da-da, right?
Yes. But, like, I don't understand why you would want something to feel a certain way, but you wouldn't just make it that way.
Well, it's not... The rhythm doesn't change. It's what's accented that changes. And
yeah.
It just feels different because of the accents.
Yeah. But you, like... Okay, so this is, like, you told me earlier that you were making your paleo dinner tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you went to the store.
Yep.
And you bought all the ingredients, but they didn't have sweet potatoes.
Right.
So you just bought regular potatoes.
Sure.
So basically what you're saying is you did a rag with regular potatoes.
No, that's not what I'm
but
saying.
But you're pretending that they're sweet potatoes.
No. Let me find another example that might make it a little clearer. So, you know when songs are in 6/8 time? One,
yes.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yes.
Right? If you play 3/4 notes over 6/8 notes, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And that sounds like 1, 2, 3, when really the rhythm is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Right?
Okay.
So you're not changing the value of the eighth note at all.
Yeah.
You're just accenting certain eighth notes, and it makes it feel like a different time signature.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I don't get that.
I don't understand how that relates to potatoes.
Okay, maybe that was not the best metaphor. But, like, admittedly, not the best metaphor. Fine. But what I'm just saying is, like, if you're going to make something feel like something else...
Yeah.
Why not just write it in something else?
Okay, I think I understand now. So only the right hand is playing that way. The left hand is still keeping going with the stride of oompa, oompa, oompa. So the right hand is shifting from just da 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 to ba da da ba da 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 over oompa, oompa, which doesn't change. So you can't write a different time signature because only half of your body is playing it.
Okay, that was the missing piece of information where it's like I'm just tricking this song into being in being in 3/4 time or whatever.
Right, you're tricking the ear into hearing part of the song in 3/4 time when really
the rest of it is in 2/4 or 4/4.
Yes, that's hemiola.
Longest roundabout explanation.
It was an explanation that took us on a trip to the grocery store somehow.
We got potatoes in there.
Key Foods didn't have sweet potatoes today. Sorry, Megan.
What the hell? Key Foods not having sweet potatoes?
I don't know.
Key Foods is the worst.
Anyway, what you got?
I don't have anything nearly as confusing.
Hey, you talked about Ecclesiastes last time, so now I'm talking about hemiola.
Epizeuxis.
Yeah, okay. My favorite book of the Bible.
Epizeuxis, chapter 1, verse 3. Okay, I have...
If the god of lightning were involved, would it be Epizeuxis?
Epizeuxis? Sure.
Continue.
What would that have to do with anything? Let's just say things we aren't sure are funny. What if I had a bumper sticker that said, my other cat is also a cat?
That's funny.
Is that funny?
Yeah, that's good.
Why is that funny?
Because it's irreverent.
Is it? Do you know what irreverent means?
Yeah, it's that.
It isn't.
It's when a cat is a cat.
Yeah, no cat like a cat.
Okay, this is going off the rails completely.
It has.
What are your lyrics?
My lyrics are a verse, a pre-chorus, and a chorus.
Panama.
What?
A man, a plan, a canal. The way you laid that out sounded like the way
Panama.
People say that. What if I just got a bumper sticker that said Panama? Why are we buying bumper stickers? We don't have cars.
What if I got... That said, my other country is an isthmus. Is that funny? How about is that funny?
That's good.
Okay, great. Here's my verse. And I think you'll see that I really tried to capture the rapturous, rowdy excitement of a chess match. Oh, I love the quiet blinking. of her eyes while she's thinking, which piece to settle where, a hush of wonder in the air.
Ooh.
The pre-chorus, what will Huang Tian do when she comes for you? Then here's the chorus. This girl is mean with her queen. It's the meanest queen I've seen. And what, and flirt.
Put your thing down, flirt it, and reverse it.
Just, I have a Missy Elliott poltergeist.
It makes you say part of your chorus backwards.
My petty haunt. Let's go back to petty haunts. My petty haunt is I'm pettily haunted by Missy Elliott. She
who is still
in,
alive.
Yes, who's still alive. And she comes in and she makes me flirp, 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 flirp my words sometimes. I'm starting again with the chorus.
Yeah, please.
This girl is mean with her queen. It's the meanest queen I've seen. And see what she has to dish up when she moves in with her bishop.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, I did it. Look, her rook is by the book. She don't need brawn. She's got a pawn. She wins the fight with her knight. Yeah, the king's in check. All right. The king's in check. All right.
Nice.
I got all the pieces in.
You got all. Where was horse?
Knight. You doubt for, it's like, oh no, I missed the horse.
I'm getting a bumper sticker that says my other knight is a horse.
My other chess set is a Monopoly set. Wait, if we had bumper stickers for
if we
this
had
show
cars first.
Well, first if we have cars, but if we had bumper stickers for this show,
for this
I mean,
show.
Yes. What would they say?
Loyal vegetarian, like for real.
Zebra.
With like a lot of A's,
yes.
And an H.
Yes. And a picture of Ray Romano.
Picture of Ray Romano's face on a zebra's body.
Yes.
That's it. Just those.
Just that? Just loyal vegetarian and zebra? Spin the salad spinner?
Spin the salad spinner. That's good. What about like a little guy playing the triangle and it says, Randy?
I like how all of our... like show lore has come from like the past like 6 weeks.
Well, we also just have bad memories, and
that's
there's
true.
Probably a lot of great jokes that could have become recurring inside jokes that we abandoned and forgot.
True. If you have anything that you would want to see on a bumper sticker, post it in our Facebook group, the Song Salad Podcast - the produce section.
I'm trying to think of another. There's something with like a picture of a hot dog bun with like
what?
A whale in it.
What?
For like Simicetus, the pug-nosed whale, a happy blubber hot dog.
Okay. I was really not sure where you were going with that for a bit.
My other sponges are in Venezuela.
That's a good one.
Why is this the format though? My other blank is blank.
Because it's the car snob thing. It's like my other car. It's like a joke about
my other car
is a like Ferrari,
right,
or whatever.
Right, right.
Like it's that.
Well,
joke.
There's that, and then there's also like my kid is an honor student.
Yeah, exactly.
So my pug-nosed whale is a happy blubber hot dog. So good lyrics.
Thank you. We do need a title.
Yeah.
It could be just like the chess rag, or like chess.
Yeah, I mean a lot of them have rag in the name.
Yeah,
right? Like
that's
the,
like.
Maple leaf rag, the pineapple rag.
I found the Alamo rag. I found the Texas Playboy rag.
The crazy bone rag.
Yeah, a lot of them. So we got to call it something rag.
The mean queen rag.
Mean queen rag is really good, actually.
That's really good.
I'm
got it in one.
I'm into mean queen rag.
The mean queen rag. A ragtime song.
About women's chess grandmaster Huang Tian.
By Shannon and Scott.
Oh, I love the quiet blinking of her eyes while she's thinking which piece to settle where, a hush of wonder in the air. What will Wantian do when
she comes for you.
This girl is mean, with her queen, it's the meanest queen I've ever seen. And see what she has to dish up when she moves in with her bishop. Look, her rook is by the book, she don't need brawn, she's got a pawn. She wins the fight with her knight. Yeah, the king's in check, alright, alright, the king's in check, alright.
Scott calls it ragtime.
It was rag-ish.
It's ragtime.
It was ragtime. You did a good job.
It's a cakewalk about chess. It's a chess walk.
It is a chess walk.
What if when Huang Tian won her grandmaster title, they brought her a cake?
That's probably better than probably money.
What if it's a cake full of money?
Okay. The only thing, hierarchy of prizes.
Okay, let's go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Way at the bottom.
The worst prize.
Certificate.
Yeah. Like participation certificate. Like certificate.
No, just
like,
even if you win like, something, like it's just you, a certificate.
Yeah, that's true. Because let's assume that the winning of this thing took a lot of effort.
Yes.
So certificate. Done.
Then,
period.
Yeah. The bottom.
Yeah.
Trophy.
Trophy is better than certificate.
Trophy is better than certificate because it's not a fucking piece of paper.
Tangible, like 3D object.
Exactly.
Yeah. Displayable.
Yes. And not, you don't have to buy a frame for it.
Right.
Like anything that you need to buy a frame for.
I feel like you're personally attacking my Grammy certificate, which is on the wall in front of you. Because I don't have a trophy. I just have a certificate. And I bought that frame for it.
I'm just dragging you. Just this whole
like
thing.
You make me a Wikipedia page, and then you...
I didn't make you the Wikipedia
Todd
page.
Todd makes you a Wikipedia
Todd
page.
Todd made you the Wikipedia
with
page.
With links to my like Grammy wins.
Yes.
You make fun of me for not even having a trophy.
Okay, but like, it's a cool frame. It's one of those...
$12 at Michael's.
Yeah, it's one of those like floating frames,
it probably
y'all.
Cost more than it did for them to print my certificate.
Oh, like 100% it did.
So,
like,
anyway.
I mean, it's got like that gold seal on it, but that doesn't mean anything.
That doesn't cost anything.
Okay, so...
So, certificate,
fuck certificates, trophies, meh.
Yeah.
Then...
Edibles.
Like pot?
No, like anything you can eat.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so like cake.
Right. Cakes, well, is cake better than trophy?
Yeah. Cake is way better than trophy.
Cake's better than trophy.
Cake is an edible trophy. Okay.
And you always have the pictures.
Yes. Then money.
Mm-hmm. What's better than money? Trip.
Oh, is it? Is trip better than money?
Trip usually comes with money.
That is true. But does money that come with trip also come with restriction? Like, must spend money on trip.
I don't know, maybe.
Or can they just send you to Tahiti and you just hoard money, save money, come back, still have money?
Probably.
What about cake?
Cake, you, well.
What about trip plus cake?
Well, I'm still going back to money plus cake.
Okay. Money plus cake or money plus trip?
No, money plus cake.
Okay, money like, plus cake.
Cut into the cake. Mm. Surprise money.
Oh, but then aren't you sad you don't have cake?
No, there's still cake around the money.
Ew, don't eat cake money.
Why not?
Because it's dirty.
Well, the cake's not dirty. The money's dirty.
Yeah, but the cake becomes dirty by association
with
the money.
I'm assuming that there's a way to put money in cake without it touching cake.
Cake boss could probably figure it out.
Let's call him up.
What if it was cake that looks like money? Cake boss could make you a cake that looks like money.
Yeah, but that's just a tease because then you don't have money.
Yeah. Okay. So you think trip is better than money.
Okay. Let's go back to just money.
Yes.
What's better? A bunch of money that like ceremoniously falls from the sky and like you have to catch it and it's like very, it's almost like confetti money, right? Or big check.
Novelty check or money storm is what you're saying.
Yes. Money rain. Or novelty check.
I feel like both are embarrassing, but money storm is more embarrassing than giant check.
Also, giant check is like one thing.
Yeah.
Money storm, I feel like I would be on television bending over trying to pick up money.
Yeah. I feel like money storm requires you to act like an idiot while it's happening.
Right.
Whereas big check, you just have to stand there like a doofus and hold it.
I would also... The first thing I would do in Money Storm would be try to grab money to see if it's real or if they're just doing like fake confetti money storm and you get the real money afterwards.
Yeah. Well, I think in either case, you get the real money afterward. I don't think at the end of Money Storm, they give you a push broom and they're like, good luck.
What if they give you a cake and then a push broom and say, good luck. And then you're left to interpret that.
I feel like something untoward would happen after that. Anyway.
So ragtime.
Ragtime.
What is it about this genre that gets us off topic?
I think it's just us. I think we are having a weird week.
It's the storm's coming.
The storm is a coming. Not the money storm.
What if it is? What if instead of snow tomorrow, there's money?
What if wishes were fishes and we'd eat for a lifetime and what?
Hemiola.
Hemiola.
Panama.
Forgot about Panama.
I'm going to have to edit around all the stuff that I cut that we're making references to.
Yeah, no, you're like everything. This episode is going to be chopped and screwed 10 ways to Sunday.
It's already over an hour and 20 minutes long.
Oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you like ragtime and world chess champions, then you might like some of our other episodes.
Yeah, please go check us out. You can subscribe, rate, and review. All of our information is at songsaladpodcast.com on our newly redesigned website. We had some new reviews this week.
We did.
Super lovely. Thank you to two lovely people.
Lottie Miller.
Thank you. Also an amazing Patreon donor.
And Quentin A. Pongratz.
Quentin A. Pongratz, thank you so much. And Lottie, thank you so much. 5-star reviews.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Yes.
Thank you to all of our Twitter followers and Patreon donors.
Patreon.com/songsalad. If you'd like to contribute, you will have access to our special blooper content. And I think we're getting more people at the $10 a month level. So we will be sending out a post about how to submit your salad bowl.
Yeah.
Suggestions.
What does that mean?
That means that once per month, we will pick a topic or genre from the salad bowl and use that as one of the random ones.
Love it. If you'd like to suggest a salad spinner suggestion, just like Claire Dixon did this week, you can send it to us on Twitter at SongSaladCast, or you can email it to us at SongSaladPodcast@gmail.com.
Stay tuned after the woof, 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 woof. For a, I didn't know what, I lost all my words. What is that?
Outro music?
The outro music. Stay tuned after the outro music for a promo for another podcast that you might like. It's called Spoilers Digest with Joe and Vanessa. And I think you guys are going to like it because what they do is they recap what they think the plot of a famous movie is and then they watch it.
I love that.
Which sounds like something that's totally up our alley. So check
that
out.
Very funny. Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're...
1, 2...
Panama.
Okay, Joe, I'll spoil this for you. I bet in the next 30 seconds, we'll start out with something funny, talk about our podcast, and then tell everyone where they can find it.
Yeah, Vanessa, that's an easy one.
And then you'll try to argue with me, and it'll be cute and show off our quippy chemistry.
Like we're doing right now.
On Spoilers Digest, we take a stab at guessing the plots of the movies that everyone else on the planet has seen but us.
Then we watch the movie and digest it and compare it to see how we did.
Sometimes we're right.
Usually we're wrong.
Join us every Wednesday as we catch up with the rest of society.
Have you seen Brokeback Mountain?
No.
Me neither. That's the one about the chiropractor, right?
Probably. So come laugh with us.
Check out SpoilersDigest.com, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.